Listen to words that were written by the sons of Korah in Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Those words were penned by the sons of Korah. They knew how blessed it was to be in the temple courts, how blessed it was to be near the presence of the Lord, praising and serving Him there. They knew this because they regularly journeyed to the temple for this purpose, because they were Levites. And this was part of their regular responsibilities and privileges as Levites. The Levites were those Israelites who descended from one of Jacob's sons by the name of Levi. And what blessed responsibilities and privileges these Levites had. We will learn about this today because our text in Joshua records the allotment of cities for the Levites. Now, the wonderful thing that we will see is that the Christian has analogous responsibilities and privileges. Responsibilities and privileges analogous to that of the Levites that we will learn about today. Please look in your Bible at Joshua chapter 21 and stand in honor of the Word of God. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came to Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel. And they said to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to dwell in, along with their pasture lands for our livestock." So, by command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave to the Levites the following cities and pasture lands out of their inheritance. The lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. So those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest received by lot from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin 13 cities. And the rest of the Kohathites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh 10 cities. The Gershonites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. The Merarites, according to their clans, received from the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. These cities and their pasture lands the people of Israel gave by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Out of the tribe of the people of Judah and the tribe of the people of Simeon, they gave the following cities mentioned by name, which went to the descendants of Aaron, one of the clans of the Kohathites who belonged to the people of Levi, since the lot fell to them first. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city and its villages had been given to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. And to the descendants of Aaron the priest, they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, Libna with its pasture lands, Jatir with its pasture lands, Eshtemoa with its pasture lands, Holon with its pasture lands, Deber with its pasture lands, Ain with its pasture lands, Judah with its pasture lands, Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 cities out of these 2 tribes. Then out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anathoth with its pasture lands, and Ammon with its pasture lands, four cities. The cities of the descendants of Aaron the priest were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. As to the rest of the Kohathites, belonging to the Kohathite clans of the Levites, the cities allotted to them were out of the tribe of Ephraim. To them were given Shechem, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer with its pasture lands, Kibzaim with its pasture lands, Beth Horon with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Dan, Elteki with its pasture lands, Gibbethon with its pasture lands, Aijalon with its pasture lands, Geth Ramon with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the half tribe of Manasseh, Tanakh with its pasture lands, and Geth Ramon with its pasture lands, two cities. The cities of the clans of the rest of the Kohathites were 10 in all with their pasture lands. And to the Gershonites, one of the clans of the Levites, were given out of the half tribe of Manasseh, Golan and Bashan with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, and Bishterah with its pasture lands, two cities. And out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishion with its pasture lands, Deberoth with its pasture lands, Jarmuth with its pasture lands, and Ganim with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Asher, Mishal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkoth with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh and Galilee with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, Hamath Dor with its pasture lands, and Carton with its pasture lands, three cities. The cities of the several clans of the Gershonites were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. And to the rest of the Levites, the Merarite clans were given out of the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with its pasture lands, Karta with its pasture lands, Dimna with its pasture lands, Nahalal with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with its pasture lands, Jahaz with its pasture lands, Kedemoth with its pasture lands, and Mephath with its pasture lands, four cities. And out of the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, Mahanaim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, Jazer with its pasture lands, four cities in all. As for the cities of the several Merarite clans, that is, the remainder of the clans of the Levites, those allotted to them were in all 12 cities. The cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the people of Israel were in all 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities each had its pasture lands around it, so it was with all these cities. Thus, the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. This chapter that I just read fits within the third section of the book of Joshua. If you remember, Joshua divides nicely into four different sections. The first section concerned entering the land of promise. The second section concerned inheriting the land that was in the conquest. And then we have been in the section on dividing the land. We have seen how the land was divided amongst the different tribes of Israel. Last time we saw how six cities were set aside as cities of refuge. And now in this chapter we have the allotment of cities to the Levites. This concludes the third section of the book on dividing the land. The final section will concern keeping the land. Now we are told in this chapter what the chapter is about in the first three verses. If you look back at verse 1, then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came to Eleazar the priest and to Joshua the son of Nun and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel. And they said to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, the Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to dwell in, along with their pasture lands for our livestock. So by command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave to the Levites the following cities and pasture lands out of their inheritance. So the heads of the Levitical families have in mind this command that the Lord had given through Moses to all the tribes of Israel. The Lord's command is recorded for us back in the book of Numbers. Don't turn there, but Numbers chapter 35, verses 1 through 8, give us the Lord's instruction that he gave to the Israelites before they had crossed over the Jordan River. That command of the Lord was that the other tribes in Israel were to give some of the cities in their inheritance to the tribe of Levi. They were to give them cities with the pasture land around the city. Pasture land that measured 1,000 cubits from the city wall in all four directions. So that in this agrarian society, the Levites would have land that they could use for their livestock to graze upon. The instruction that the Lord gave back in Numbers said that the six cities of refuge, which we studied last week, were to be given as part of this group of cities that would be given to the Levites. But in addition to these six cities of refuge being given to the Levites, there were to be 42 additional cities given to them. The number of cities given by each tribe was to be in proportion to the size of their inheritance. So Judah had a very large inheritance from the Lord, and so they were to give a larger number of cities to the Levites than a smaller tribe like Dan. Joshua chapter 21, our text, verses 4 through 8, tell us that these cities were given partly by lot to the divisions within Levi. So after this request is brought to the leaders of Israel by the Levites, please do what the Lord has instructed you to do and give us these 48 cities. The leaders seek to understand the will of the Lord by the use of the lot. Seems that the high priest was the one responsible for the use of the lot. And at this point in the history of God's people, this was a way through which God revealed his will to the leaders of the nation. And so by lot, there are matchings that are created between a tribe of Israel and which division of Levites were to receive cities from that tribe. There were four divisions within the tribe of Levi that are spoken of in our text. These four divisions actually were laid out in the Mosaic Law. The first division is you have the descendants of Aaron. You remember, Aaron was the first high priest. Aaron was the brother of Moses. And it was the descendants of Aaron who were responsible to serve as priests in the tabernacle and later the temple. So this is the priestly part of the tribe of Levi. Notable people who would later be born into this first division include Eli, Abiathar, Zadok, Jehoiada, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Ezra, the prophet Zechariah, and John the Baptist would all be born into this priestly division of Levi. The second division within the tribe of Levi was the rest of the descendants of Levi's son Kohath. Aaron was a descendant of Kohath, but all the others within the descendants of Kohath made up the second division. You remember Korah in the wilderness, who led that rebellion because Korah wanted the same privileges that the priests had. Korah was part of this division within the tribe of Levi. And some of his descendants are termed the sons of Korah in the Psalms. And I read to you earlier part of Psalm 84 written by the sons of Korah. They are within the second division of the Levites. The third division spoken of in our text is the descendants of Levi's son Gershon. And you will read of one of his descendants, Asaph, as Asaph His name occurs in some of the psalm inscriptions. He wrote some of our psalms. And then the last division within Levi were the descendants of Levi's son, Merari. You may be familiar with one of his descendants, Ethan, also called Jeduthun in the Bible. Ethan was appointed by David to be one of the leaders of the music ministry in the temple. Now, by lot, it was decided here in Joshua 21 which tribes would give cities to each division within Levi. Verses 9 through 19 of our text record all the cities that were given to Aaron's descendants. There's a special note that I want you to look at in that section, starting at verse 11. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city and its villages have been given to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. We've already learned of how Caleb had requested Hebron as his inheritance, and how he, as an old man, had fought to gain possession of Hebron. Now, when we're told that Hebron was being given by Judah to the Levites, the author seems to think, well, some of the readers are going to have a little difficulty understanding here, saying, well, wasn't Hebron given to Caleb? How could it be given to the Levites? But it's explained here that the Levites had the portion probably within the walls, and Caleb had the portions outside the walls. What we see here is probably pretty representative of what happened with all 48 Levitical cities, that you don't have Levites completely isolated in these 48 cities with no interaction with the other Israelites, but they are living with people from other tribes. They are surrounded by people from the other tribes. They would have interaction. They're not in some colony all by themselves. Now, not all 48 cities have been conquered at this point, which is interesting that they would allot to the Levites some cities that still were inhabited by Canaanites, in which the Israelites did not yet have control of. But that reflects faith in God. God had promised the whole land to the Israelites. And so there's faith here that God will fulfill his promise as Israel is faithful to believe and to obey, and that the Levites will gain the possession of all of these cities. Now, one thing I think stands out far more than anything else when you look at this chapter and compare it with the rest of Joshua. What stands out is that here you have a tribe receiving cities from all the other tribes, in contrast to how all the other tribes, they received their own region in the land, directly from God. But here, the tribes are giving cities spread throughout the whole land. Now, if we are going to be faithful in interpreting this text, since this is what really stands out, we need to ask the question, why is this the case? Why do the Levites not receive a whole region like all the other tribes did? Why do they receive cities that are scattered throughout the whole land? And so as we seek to interpret that, we search the scriptures in the context to see why this was. Yet our study will be incomplete today if that's all we do, if we just seek to find out why Levi was spread out like this. We also must consider how this relates to the Christian, because this text, like the rest of Scripture, is given to us for our edification. All Scripture is profitable for the Christian. So we have to ask that last question, how does this relate to the Christian? So, this morning, in our remaining time, I want to first focus on why the Levites were given cities rather than a region, and second of all, what the Levites have to do with the Christian. Now, there's four reasons that I want to point you to of why the Levites were given cities rather than a region. The first reason is that the tribe of Levi was cursed by Jacob. The tribe was cursed by Jacob. Look back at Genesis chapter 49. Genesis means beginning. In the book of Genesis, we learn about the beginnings of so many things, including the 12 tribes. And in chapter 49 of Genesis, if you look at the first verse, it tells us what this chapter is about. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come." Jacob here is about to die in the land of Egypt. He has his 12 sons around him, and he calls them to himself and says, "I'm going to tell you what will happen to you in days to come." And he speaks prophetically. The Spirit gives him the words to say. Go down to verse 5 to see what he says about Simeon and Levi. "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel. Oh, my glory be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Jacob refers to a violent act from Levi's past, where Levi and Simeon led their brothers in massacring all the males in the city where Shechem lived. Shechem had defiled their sister Dinah. And in revenge, Simeon and Levi led their brothers in massacring all the men in this city and then plundering the whole city. This greatly angered their father Jacob, because he said, "Now we're going to be a stench to the rest of the Canaanites around us, and they are going to come and attack us." So Jacob, he brings this up, and then he pronounces a curse in light of this upon Simeon and Levi. The curse is that Jacob will divide them in Jacob. He will scatter them in Israel. Their descendants will be scattered. They will not have their own land. Now, this means they would not have their own inheritance in the land. Now, perhaps for Simeon, this was fulfilled when Simeon was allotted a region all encompassed by Judah. It's very unusual. Simeon was just completely surrounded by the tribe of Judah. But certainly for Levi, this curse was fulfilled when they were allotted cities in our text that scattered them all throughout the land of Israel, not receiving their own inheritance. Yet we serve a God who graciously turns curses into blessings, don't we? Throughout the rest of our study, we will see how our Lord turned this curse that was upon Levi into a blessing. Which brings us to the second reason why the Levites were given cities and not a region. The second reason is that the tribe of Levi was faithful at Sinai. They were faithful at Sinai. Turn over to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32 records the golden calf incident. God had just given his law, the Ten Commandments, to Israel. The second commandment was not to make an idol, not to make a graven image of God. And the Israelites grow tired of waiting for Moses, who is up on the mountain talking with God, and they make an idol, breaking that second commandment very blatantly. They make an idol. They make a golden calf that they worship as their God who brought them out of Egypt. And Moses comes down from the mountain, and he's enraged at what he sees. And not only are they worshiping the idol, but that has led to a complete lack of self-control. They have begun a wild party, and sexual immorality is occurring. It's a terrible scene that Moses comes upon. Now, let's pick it up in verse 25. Verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. In these verses, Moses speaks of the Lord's blessing coming upon the Levites. This blessing involved what he describes in verse 29 as being ordained for the service of the Lord. Through their faithfulness to the Lord here in this incident, as they rallied to Moses, turning from the wickedness around them, and they obeyed the instruction that brought about an end to this wicked rebellion, this wicked idolatry. Through this service to the Lord, they were ordained to a future service to the Lord. They are blessed with a responsibility to serve the Lord in a special way throughout the days of the Old Covenant. Now, this does not change the fact that they would be scattered in Israel. But this does change the curse to a blessing. It was previously a curse that they would be spread throughout the land. Now, they will still be spread throughout the land, but as a blessing for them and a blessing for Israel. The Lord has turned the curse into a blessing. Now, this brings us to the third reason why the Levites were given cities. The third reason is that the tribe of Levi was consecrated to the Lord. Not only were the Levites consecrated, or that word means set apart, to the Lord by their faithfulness at Sinai, but also by the nation in a ceremony that was instructed by the Lord. Turn forward in Numbers chapter 8. The book of Numbers chapter 8. I'll begin at verse 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. Now go down to verse 9. And you shall bring the Levites before the tent of meeting and assemble the whole congregation of the people of Israel. When you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the people of Israel, that they may do the service of the Lord. And then go down to 14. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the people of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that, the Levites shall go in to serve at the tent of meeting, when you have cleansed them and offered them as a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the people of Israel, instead of all who opened the womb, the firstborn of all the people of Israel. I have taken them for myself. For all the firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both of man and of beast. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated them for myself. And I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the people of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people of Israel to do the service for the people of Israel at the tent of meeting and to make atonement for the people of Israel that there may be no plague among the people of Israel when the people of Israel come near the sanctuary. So what we see here were the male Levites were set apart by the whole nation. The nation laid hands on the males in the tribe of Levi, setting them apart unto a special service to the Lord in the tabernacle. They were to assist their brothers, the priests, in the work of the worship at the tabernacle. So they were consecrated, set apart from the rest of the nation unto the Lord for this very special ministry. And this is connected with the fact that previously the Lord had spoken about how all the firstborn males were to be consecrated to the Lord, because in the Passover, the firstborn males had been spared by the angel of death. So the firstborn Israelite males were to be consecrated to the Lord. But now we're told the Lord will take the Levites, the male Levites, in place of all the firstborn males of the land as those consecrated to the Lord for his service. Now, the fact that the males were consecrated, you know, you never see in the Bible a female priest. There were males that were consecrated to the Levitical ministry. This stands in contrast to the practices of the nations surrounding Israel. If you study their religious practices at this time, you will see it was very common for other nations to have female priestesses, but not in Israel. And here we see something that runs all throughout the Bible is that God appoints men to the role of leadership in the family and in the church in Israel. He appoints men. And we see that in that this was atypical. This was not what the other nations did. We see that this male leadership role is not a cultural thing. People today will try to argue that the Bible does not teach male leadership and that ladies can be pastors and elders and so forth. And the argument is that in the New Testament it was just cultural for a group to be led by males. But all the way back here, we see that even though the culture had female priestesses, females involved in leading their nations in their rituals of worship, Israel was countercultural, and God appointed the men to this role. Now, what I've read to you was the ceremony in which the nation was consecrating the Levites to this special ministry. Now, I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10 to see what this states about the connection between the consecration of the Levites and the fact that they did not receive a regional inheritance in the land. Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting at verse 8. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. Moses is going back over the history. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister to him, and to bless in his name to this day. Therefore, Levi has no portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, as the Lord your God said to him. So, first it stated, Levi was consecrated. He was set apart unto this service. It involves carrying the tabernacle from place to place. It involves standing before the Lord in the tabernacle to minister to him. It involves blessing the people in the Lord's name. And the reason why Levi has no portion or inheritance of the land is because the Lord is his inheritance. He has been set apart to the Lord for this ministry. Now, what all was entailed in the service at the tabernacle and later the temple? We receive a good summary. You don't need to turn there. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23, David is giving direction for the Levites in the temple or the tabernacle, then later the temple. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 28 of the Levites, for their duty was to assist the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, having the care of the courts and the chambers, the cleansing of all that is holy, and any work for the service of the house of God. Their duty was also to assist with the showbread, the flour for the grain offering, the wafers of unleavened bread, the baked offering, the offering mixed with oil, and all measures of quantity or size. And they were to stand every morning, thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise at evening. And whenever burnt offerings were offered to the Lord on Sabbaths, new moons, and feast days, according to the number required of them regularly before the Lord. Thus, they were to keep charge of the tent of meeting and the sanctuary, and to attend the sons of Aaron, their brothers, for the service of the house of the Lord. So basically, all the responsibilities of caring for the tabernacle and the temple and for leading everything that goes on there, everything short of what the priests did, was to be done by the rest of the Levites. And this included every morning and evening and every time that a burnt offering was offered, the Levites being there in the courts and giving praise and thanks to God, audibly, not quietly in their hearts, but audibly, for the congregation to hear. This would be take the form of prayers and singing, playing of instruments with the singing. All of this to give praise and thanks to God regularly in the tabernacle. That was part of the worship to the Lord. And the Levites had that responsibility. Earlier in the book of Joshua, Joshua spoke for the Lord of such service as the Levites' inheritance. Listen to Joshua 18:7. The Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their heritage. The priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And everything associated with the priesthood is the inheritance of the Levites in place of a region of land. Now, because of this, the Levites were to be supported by tithes from the other tribes. Look back to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers 18, another passage that speaks of the Levites not having a regional inheritance. Numbers 18, starting at verse 21, talks about the tithes. Verse 21, to the Levites I have given every tithe. A tithe was 10%. To the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting. So the people of Israel do not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And among the people of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said of them, they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel. So at times the scriptures say the Lord himself is the inheritance of the Levites. Other places say that the priesthood, that the service they did was their inheritance. And here it says the tithes that they received from the other tribes was their inheritance. And the Levitical cities that we see in our text, these 48 cities that the other tribes give to the Levites, these cities can be seen as part of the tithe that they gave to the Levites for the well-being of the Levites, for the sustenance of the Levites. Their very cities were given to them by the tribes essentially as a tithe, as the 12 tribes were to give cities in proportion to the size of their inheritance. Now, with the Levites being spread all throughout the land and their ministry being centered at the tabernacle, what that meant was that the Levites would have to take turns journeying to the tabernacle to do their service for a period of time and then would return back to the city that had been allotted to them, which is exactly what we see in Luke chapter 1. You know, Zechariah is a priest there serving in the temple. He's going to be the father of John the Baptist. The angel appears to him. Well, we're told there that Zacharias was part of the priestly division called Abijah. And that it was the turn for that priestly division to be at the temple doing the temple service. There's a rotation of Levites and priests that would come in from the various parts of the land to do the ministry at their turn. Now, these passages that we have looked at on the consecration of the Levites really help us understand why the Levites were given cities and not a whole piece of land. But there is one more reason, and that is that the tribe of Levi was responsible to minister to all Israel. They not only had a responsibility at the tabernacle, they also had a responsibility to all the people of Israel. Look back at Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. Verse 10 is part of instructions that were given for Aaron and his sons, the priests. Verse 10, you are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean. And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses. We see here that Aaron and his sons had a responsibility to teach the law of the Lord to the Israelites. Now, that couldn't just be done on the few days in the year where you journeyed to the tabernacle. This had to be an ongoing ministry. And we see other passages of Scripture that speak about the Levites having a teaching responsibility amongst all the Israelites. Turn over to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33 are some of Moses' last words. And Moses speaks of each of the tribes. And in verse 8, he comes to the tribe of Levi. And we read, and of Levi, he said, give to Levi your Thummim and your Urim to your godly one, whom you tested at Massa, with whom you quarreled at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and mother, I regard them not. He disowned his brothers and ignored his children, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. Here is a reference to their faithfulness at Mount Sinai when they took the sword to bring an end to that idolatry. Verse 10, they shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and hold burnt offerings on your altar. Normally, I think when we think of the Levites and priests, we think of the second half of verse 10, putting incense before the Lord, offering whole burnt offerings on the altar. But in the first half of verse 10, we see another equally important part of the responsibility of the Levites. They were to teach Jacob the Lord's rules. They were to teach Israel the Lord's law. Listen to what Ezekiel, who was a priest and a prophet, as said in Ezekiel chapter 44, starting at verse 23. He's talking about the priests. This is the Lord's word through Ezekiel. They, that is the priests, shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. In a dispute, they shall act as judges, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. So here we see, not only did this ministry of the Levites and priests include teaching what God requires in his law, but also they were to act as judges. Judges who would enforce the law. When there were disputes regarding the keeping of the law, the disputes were to be brought to the Levites, and they were to act as judges. So that helps us understand why those cities of refuge that we studied last week were cities that were given to the Levites because they have this judicial role amongst the people. All of this enables us to more fully understand why the Levites were given cities rather than a region. If they were to be faithful in teaching the law of the Lord to the Israelites, then they had to live throughout the whole land. You can't have all the Levites in one geographical location teaching the law to the rest of Israel. Impossible. There's no TV. There's no radio. There's no phone. They had to live amongst the people, just like today in the church. You know, we don't just go to one place in this country to listen to the word of God. The church is spread out throughout the whole land. The preaching is to be in every town and city and so forth. Looking forward through Old Testament history, we can see God's wisdom in something that we see in our text today, that it was the descendants of Aaron, the priestly line that was allotted cities in Judah. Why is that significant in the history of Israel? Well, later on in their history, in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, there's going to be a split. Judah, which has the cities for the priests, Judah will split off from the rest of the nation. The rest of the nation is going to apostatize. Assyria will come in. They will disperse the Israelites throughout the Assyrian kingdom. And all that will be left is the kingdom of Judah. Though Babylon will come against Judah, there would come a time when God would bring the Jews, the descendants of Judah, back out of Babylon and Persia, back to the land under Ezra and Nehemiah. They would be preserved, and the ministry of the priests would continue on as the temple would be rebuilt. The priests, by God's lot, as God revealed his will through the lot, the priests, in God's providence, were placed here in Judah, a place where they would be preserved, where they would not be dispersed in the apostasy. Very interesting how God works. We can see his wisdom here. Well, the big question is, what do the Levites have to do with the Christian? We just want to spend a few minutes on this question. The Old Testament teaching about Levites and priests was wrongly applied in the Middle Ages. And some churches continue to wrongly apply it. In the Middle Ages, there was too sharp a distinction made between the clergy and the laity. The clergy were the ones who were considered to be the priests, not the laity, not the congregation. It was the clergy, the ordained ones, who were considered to be the priests. Confession had to be made to one of these priests. The priests were the ones who fully partook of the Lord's Supper. The priests were the ones who could read, interpret, and teach the scriptures, not the congregation. But what does the Bible teach about Levites, priests, and the Christian? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is very clearly in this passage looking back at the Old Testament and tying it together with the New Covenant and the Christian. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. The apostle writes, "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Do you catch the significance of this? This is talking about all Christians, the whole church. That all of us as Christians are being built up as a spiritual house, as a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. The priests in the Old Testament offered sacrifices, but now we are a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Go down to verse 9. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So every Christian is a member of a royal priesthood in the new covenant. Listen to Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Every Christian, according to Revelation chapter 1, is a priest to God. And in Hebrews chapter 13, which we read earlier in the service, starting at verse 15, through Jesus then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. All of us as Christians have this responsibility to offer up sacrifices now as the Lord's priests. Martin Luther, that great reformer, heralded this truth taught in these passages that he called the priesthood of all believers, meaning that every Christian is someone else's priest and all Christians are priests to one another. Now let us relate this biblical teaching about every Christian being a priest, let us relate this to what we learned today about the Levites. We saw earlier that the tribe of Levi was cursed. Understand that the Christian likewise has a sinful past that placed him or her under God's curse. How gracious our God is. He turned the curse upon Levi into a blessing. And if you are a Christian, you know how you once were under God's curse. You were under his condemnation. You deserved hell for your sins against God. But God has turned that curse into a blessing. Because Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, he suffered the curse that was due you in your place when he hung upon the cross. And as it was dark, and as he bore your sin, he bore your guilt, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He bore the curse. He was judged in your place for your sins. How gracious our God is. He's turned the curse that we deserved into a blessing for us. A Christian is not someone who makes himself or herself good by just trying to work harder at doing what God commands. No, the Christian is a sinner saved by grace. The Christian is someone who by nature is under the curse of God, but has a substitute who has died in his place, who has saved him through his sacrificial death at the cross and his resurrection in victory. So we can relate to Levi, who was cursed. Second of all, we've seen that the tribe of Levi was faithful at Sinai. That was that turning moment for them. The Christian likewise has turned from wickedness to God in obedience. Like the Levites, the Christian has answered that call, who is on the Lord's side? That happened in conversion. That happens with repentance, where we turn our back on sin, we turn our back on wickedness, we forsake our sin, and we turn to Jesus Christ in faith, submitting our life to him as our Lord. We have seen thirdly that the tribe of Levi was consecrated to the Lord. And so is every Christian consecrated to the Lord. That is the significance of the word saint. In the Bible, every Christian is called a saint. There's not some special class of some Christians who are made saints. No, every Christian is a saint. Paul addresses his letters to the saints at Corinth or the saints at some other city. Every Christian is a saint. A holy one, someone who has been set apart by God unto himself in order to serve God. Understand that is part of your position in Christ as a Christian. You are a saint, you are a holy one, a consecrated one, one who is consecrated by the Lord to the Lord's service. Every Christian is a minister. The fourth truth that we have seen about the Levites is that the tribe of Levi was responsible to minister to all Israel. And we see in the New Covenant, the church likewise is responsible to make disciples of all the nations. And every Christian has personal responsibility that fits within the wider responsibility of the church making disciples of all nations. So it is God's will that the church not isolate herself. The tribe of Levi did not inherit a region in the land, and neither is the church to form a colony somewhere. Sometimes in church history, we've seen the church have a tendency to do this. Well, there's so much temptation in the world. We studied that today in Matthew chapter 18. It's inevitable that temptation will come when you're in the world. There's so much temptation out there. Why don't we as a church just isolate ourselves from the world? We'll just run away from the world, make our own colony. That's not scriptural. Just as the Levites were spread out throughout the land, so we as the church are being spread out by the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit throughout the world to make disciples of all the nations. The Lord scattered Levi in Israel, and today he scatters his church in the world. We're going to see more of that scattering of the church in a few weeks when we begin to study the book of Acts and see how the Lord took that beginning of the church that was in Jerusalem and just caused it to go out to Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So we have to ask ourselves a question as a church: are we isolating ourselves or are we spreading? Are we isolating ourselves from the world or are we spreading out throughout the world as the salt and light and the ambassadors of Christ? Well, how does this larger section of Joshua end? I told you before that this chapter that we have studied, it comes at the end of the third section. Look again at Joshua 21 at the last verses. These verses do not conclude the chapter. They conclude the whole section that we are in Joshua. Let's start at verse 43. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed, all came to pass. These words are written as words of praise. They're praising God for his faithfulness, for fulfilling his word perfectly. And this is the God whom we as Christians serve as priests. As priests, we are serving the God who has shown himself all throughout this book to be absolutely faithful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for your faithfulness. And we thank you for the privilege of being chosen by you, of being consecrated by you, of being saved from your curse, of being called to serve you with our lives. Oh Lord, what a wonderful thing that was for the Levites to be in the temple courts, in right there where your presence was manifested, praising you, serving you right there. And how much greater a privilege we have as the New Testament kingdom of priests. What a greater privilege we have looking back at what your Son has done for us to bring us to you. And now having hearts that are filled with thanksgiving for what you have so clearly done, so clearly revealed to us of your atoning work for our salvation. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving to you. We desire to serve you. We desire to praise you. Oh, teach us to be faithful priests. Priests to you and priests to one another. Proclaiming your excellencies to the world around us and to one another. Pointing each other again and again to you. You who are faithful, you who are gracious, you who are our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.